listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 247 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show. And on today's episode, you're going to hear from Dave Kuhl of Band Zoogle, and we're going to be discussing how to build a compelling artist website and how to own your fan base on the web. And it should be an interesting discussion. It's a topic we haven't talked about much in recent episodes. But before we get to that, if you need an artist website, you can go to bandzoogle.com/CDBaby. Not only can you get a great artist website, but you'll get free music distribution as well. So make sure you go to bandzoogle.com/CDBaby and you can try it out for free, no obligation. So if you want to try some of the features out that we discuss later on in the episode, you can do so and sort of follow along. And before we get to that interview, I should also say that early bird tickets are selling for the DIY Musician Conference in Austin, Texas. That's going to be August 28th through 30th. You're going to want to be there. Early bird tickets, the price is just going to keep going up. So why wait and buy your tickets later when you know you want to be there? Hotel rooms are going fast as well. So snag your hotel room, snag your tickets, head on over to DIYMusicianCon.com for all the details. It's going to be an amazing time. It's a highlight of the year for me. So go get those tickets, get the hotel room, and plan on hanging out in Austin August 28th through 30th. All right, I met up with Dave Kuhl. Yes, that's his real name, Dave Kuhl, at the Folk Alliance Conference that just happened recently in New Orleans, Louisiana. And it was a great time, and I appreciate Dave taking some time out to discuss making a compelling artist website with me. And we're going to get to that interview. So let's do that right now. Joining me here in New Orleans, high above Canal Street, is Dave Kuhl. Dave, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm thrilled to be doing this.
I know. It's about time to get you on the podcast.
Long time coming.
I've only known you probably like 2009 or something
at
like
least.
That.
Yeah, sounds about
yeah,
right.
Yeah. You were a long time Band Zoogleite.
Yes.
And how long have you been at Band Zoogle?
Just about, I guess, 9 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have a much longer history with CD Baby randomly, but.
Okay. For some reason, it feels like you've been there since I've been at CD Baby, but.
No. How long have you been at CD Baby?
14 years.
14 years. Yeah. No.
Okay.
But we may have crossed paths at a conference.
Yes. Okay.
In my pre-Band Zoogle days.
All right. Well, I'm super excited to. One, be able to say that we are partnering with Band Zoogle now, and you guys have amazing website tools and things to help artists make money from their web presence that we're going to dive into all of those. But for those of us that haven't encountered Band Zoogle, or those listening who haven't encountered Band Zoogle, can you give us a quick rundown of the company and what you guys do? And, you know, you can tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
Sure. So, try to be brief, but Band Zoogle is an all-in-one website platform. It was founded by a musician up in Montreal where I'm based, but we're actually a 100% remote company, so we've got staff a little bit all over the place in North America and Europe. And it was started kind of by accident. Similar origin story to CD Baby, actually, because the founder of Band Zoogle was working for a major record label up in Canada, and he was designing all the websites for all the bands because his band was signed to the label. And he got overwhelmed with requests to, like, can you upload this calendar date? Can you change this bio? Can you do this? And he got overwhelmed. He's like, you know what? He coded a control panel. He's like, here's a login. Just do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone stopped bugging him. And he's like, hey, this might be useful for other bands. And so Band Zoogle was born 16 years ago. And, you know, obviously a lot has changed in the platform since then. But it's an all-in-one platform. Hosting is included. We use Amazon's web services, so the hosting's like premium hosting. Custom domain name is included. You can run your mailing list. We've got a mailing list tool included. You can sell music, merch, tickets, run crowdfunding, subscriptions, all commission-free. So we don't take any cut of the sales through the platform, except for whatever the PayPal or Stripe fees might be. And there's 7-day-a-week support, so if people have questions, they can always contact our support team. We're about 28-ish, I think now, employees at the company, and most of us are either current or former musicians. So it's a very musician-friendly company, and I think we're powering now just under 50,000 websites for bands around the world. So it's like, it's not huge numbers like a CD Baby or some other tech companies out there, but it is kind of a premium thing because you're paying, you know, you're paying a monthly hosting fee with Bandzoogle. So it's, you know, we're still kind of a small independent company, but yeah, I've stuck around for 16 years now.
Well, I know that I've been at multiple conferences recently, including one of ours. It was in Valencia when we were at our conference, and someone was presenting. It was a publicist, and she was talking about PR, and she put up this very nice-looking website that had all these cool built-in tools. I'm like, what website is this? And it was a Bandzoogle site. So
that's awesome.
I know you guys are making some great tools. So let's start a little bit with talking about in 2020 and beyond, what is important for an artist to be thinking about with their web presence and then moving into their website? I know for a while we were in an era where people were like, oh, Facebook is enough. But then when it really wasn't, but because you're giving Facebook all your fans and not owning the relationship, but also it seemed like everybody was there. But now we keep getting fracturing these social networks. So that kind of idea seems to be fading. But what does a website need, and how should artists be thinking about their website in 2020?
Yeah, it's basically your home on the web. Like it's the space that you own, essentially. So as long as you keep renewing that domain name, like your fans in the industry will always be able to find you there. Like social media platforms might come and go, or some might be cooler than others at a certain point. But if you have your website online, your fans will always be able to go there to find all the information they need. And you own that data and you own that relationship with the artist. Like you said, you're kind of, I think you're the one who I got this from years ago, but you're kind of like leasing that space on a social media profile versus owning it through your website. So it's a pretty amazing thing. And at Bandzoogle, we think about this a lot. It's like, you know, we've been around for 16 years and websites and email are still super relevant for a musician's career. And in terms of what you should have on your website, like it's your home on the web. So you're going to have different types of people visiting this. Like you're going to have your current fans. You're going to have maybe potential fans. Let's say you're playing a festival or you're opening up for a bigger name band. Like people might be checking out your website to find out more about you. And then you've got the industry, whether it's booker, media, that kind of thing. So you have to be conscious of those three types of people that are visiting your site and have some content for all of them on your website so that they don't have to go elsewhere to try to find that information. Like it should all be right. Everything, all your music, all your biographical information, everything that a fan or a person in the industry needs should be on your website.
What are some of the basics that so an artist is going to need in order to make a compelling website and use the tools? I know you guys have a lot of great themes and things like that, but
yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the things I hear from artists is like, well, I don't know if I've got enough information. What are some things that artists should be thinking about when developing that presence?
Yeah, so like we tell musicians they can build a website in minutes through Bandzoogle, which is true, but you need to have some content ready. You know,
you don't make my band for me?
No, exactly. So you need to have some music. You need to have your bio. Super important to have your bio ready. Probably the biggest, most important thing that artists should have in place before building their website is professional photos. Like, you can have the most beautiful template in the world for your website. If your header image or background image is a really poor quality photo that your cousin took with bad lighting or whatever, like, the reality is that it's unfortunate, but like, someone in the industry or even a fan's gonna land on your website, that visual image gives them an impression of you and of your music without ever hearing it potentially. So, we tell musicians they should be spending more money on a professional photo shoot than on their website. Like, invest in a professional photo shoot with a professional photographer, because you're going to use those photos for your website, your EPK, your socials, your promo, all that stuff. So professional photo, super important. That is the key to, you know, having a nice, well-designed website.
Well, I agree 100%. And on top of that, while you were saying that, it just popped into my head that it probably wouldn't be a bad idea if you're an artist and you're in that situation where you're like, okay, I need to get some photos. I want to build out a nicer web presence. It'd probably be to their advantage to create their Banzoogle account first, see how all the photos will be used or could be used in various templates, because I think one of the biggest frustrations I've experienced, and I'm sure other artists have, is they hire that fancy photographer and everything's cropped super close. And it's like, yeah, that's good if the newspaper wants to print something, but
yeah,
for the thumbnail or the header image that's horizontal as opposed to vertical or landscape, I should
yeah.
say, that won't work. It's like, it's just our heads sticking up, you know? It's so it's like the idea of like getting in there and digging around to seeing what pieces are going to be needed, especially for the theme you might be leaning towards, because it could be all different.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. And in our platform, you can actually set a focal point, which helps sometimes, especially on mobile device. But if you're a band that has like four or five members and it's like a landscape image, like on a mobile phone, like looking at it vertically, it's gonna be tough to get
yeah.
you know, the whole band in there. But you're absolutely right. And that's what, like, we have a 30-day free trial. And if people need more time, we always give them, you know, a little bit more time. So you can definitely play around in the platform, pick out a template. You know, you can work with a designer, photographer, your team, and come up with a concept that, you know, can match what you want to do with your website. Like, definitely.
You said you could pick a focal point in the image, or?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So that when it adapts, because all of the templates in Banzoogle are responsive. So if someone's looking on it on a laptop, a desktop, a tablet, or a mobile device, it's going to adapt to the screen size, which means that the focal point on the image might change, but you can set it for each viewpoint, basically.
Yeah.
So on a tablet, you can set a focal point. On a mobile, you can set a focal point.
And just in case someone listening doesn't know what responsive means,
yeah,
that is, it'll flow. Your website flows based on the device people are looking at. So that's one of the big tricks with having a nice website, is that you can make it look great on a desktop, and if you're using the wrong web tool, it can look like garbage on a phone and you don't even realize it.
Exactly. And some people are like, no, you know, like we get people, especially at conferences like this, who show us, we do free website reviews for people when we're at a conference, and they'd be like, no, my website looks great on mobile. And if you have to pinch and zoom on a phone, it's not mobile responsive. It's, you know, it yeah. should, it, the user experience should be seamless. Like the buttons should be large. The images should be large. Like the text, everything should adapt to the screen size. And that's what responsive means. Yeah.
I want to dive into some of those features and that you mentioned, and how artists can use their pages strategically and the tools that you offer strategically. And then also talk about some of the best practices that you've seen or cool ideas that artists on the platform have been using. And then we'll get to some mistake stories in a bit. I know you guys do the website demolition derby. I've been at a couple, and my mind has just been blown by some of the pages that have been shown.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in a bit. But let's start with some of the tools you mentioned, like the store and some of the other marketing tools that are available.
Yeah, so built into the platform is the ability, so you can stream your music, and there's a lot of options that are for streaming or downloads. You can make it pay what you want. You can set the price, make it free with an email address, with the music players. All the sales are commission free and get reported the sound scan. So if you are selling direct to your fans, and even though we're in a streaming world, of course, digital downloads are obviously dropping, we still get tons of digital download sales happening through our platform, because, and often it'll be people that just want to support the artist. Like I have still purchased digital downloads, but I just add the artist on Spotify to listen to them. But if I want to give them some extra money to support their career, I can, you know, you can, especially if you set it pay what you want. That's one way that your fans could contribute more, mm-hmm. you know, for your music. So there's the music players. Then there's a store where you can sell merch. So anything from CDs, vinyl, you can bundle with the digital version of the album with those, of course. You sell t-shirts, mugs, whatever merch you want to sell, you can sell through the store. You can sell digital files. So if you're a music teacher, maybe you can sell like instructional videos or songbooks or like PDF songbooks, things like that. And I know on this very podcast, you and Chris declared crowdfunding dead last year. But
who knows what I've said on this podcast?
We did add crowdfunding to the platform last year. So it's like because all of our tools can be used in conjunction with each other to crowdfund an album. And so we created a template to make it a lot easier to do that. And actually, I met an artist here at Folk Alliance who raised over $30,000 recently on her Banzoogle website for crowdfunding. She's like, you guys don't take a commission. So that was significant.
Absolutely. Because the I've done two crowdfunding campaigns. I can't remember what the commission was on the first one, but the second one we did was on the now defunct Pledge Music, and they take a considerable commission, and they hold on to the money. Oh,
yeah.
As we've seen, they hold on to it indefinitely for some.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But you know, they had this thing where they wouldn't give you the money completely until you fulfilled it, which would kind of put you in this weird space of, I don't have the money to fulfill these things because you're holding on to it. So how do I fulfill these? So yeah, that's cool. So for your crowdfunding platform, the artist, do they get the money when they hit the goal, or how does that one work?
So it's a very, so all of the sales that happen through Banzoogle, like, we don't get involved in the transactions.
Okay. Do you need PayPal or something?
PayPal or Stripe, yeah. Okay. So to accept the payments. And so it goes directly from the fans' bank account or credit card to the artists. And so we don't get involved. So there is, you know, there is some risk, I guess, because it's really on the artist then. They have to fulfill the orders. And there may be a risk that a fan doesn't get, you know, their reward, but that's really on the artist.
Yeah.
And if they want to potentially ruin their career by not fulfilling the orders of the fans that they have paid them, that's essentially on them. So it's a much more hands-off approach to what Pledge Music was, or other, especially Pledge Music, because they were a lot more hands-on with the artists and the fan side, doing customer service for the fans and fulfillment and things like that. So we're not doing that. It's more just a more robust pre-order campaign, essentially, for the artist. And we did launch that feature set in response to the bankruptcy of Pledge, because we had actually been partners with Pledge Music for years. We had an integration with them, and, you know, knew that team for years since they started. And it was heartbreaking because we had a bunch of artists, Banzoogle members, that got caught up in not getting their money ever. And so we were like, look, like, we're not officially a crowdfunding platform, but you can definitely do it through our platform, and we've made it easier. So if you're worried about not getting your money or not wanting another company like touch the transaction, like, you can do it through your website. We don't touch the transaction. You get all the money immediately, and you have that direct relationship with the fans. So that was added. And then we also added last year subscriptions. So you can charge like a monthly subscription for access to content. So you can have like it's almost like an online fan club, basically. Mm-hmm. So you can have different tiers with different rewards and things like that. So it's all built into your website. There's like a three-step, you know, process in the Banzoogle control panel to set up a subscriptions offering. And you can make it a really simple, like $5 a month, and you get access to all... Everything I ever release is going to be on this password protected page.
So
you have to log in. Exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah. So if someone lands on your website and finds one of those pages that has any of those rewards for your subscribers, there's going to be an automatic paywall page that pops up. And if they're already a subscriber, they can log in, or they have to subscribe, and then they get access to exclusive tracks or exclusive whatever. There's a, you know, we posted a blog of like 70 something ideas of like exclusive content you could offer to your super fans. Like, it's one of these things where it's not for everyone, because you really have to be prolific with generating content and justifying charging a monthly fee to your fans. But like, we have a bunch of members who, you know, they're making $500 to $1,000 a month doing these online fan clubs, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that. It's something that makes it easy to try. You guys, the thing I like about the tool that you offer is that so much of the hassle of trying to get these things up and running is figuring out the tech piece or the mechanics of it, that by the time you get to the point of trying to launch, you're like, I don't care anymore. You're just like, or like, I'm just so burned out of trying to figure this thing out, where the idea of testing and failing and figuring out what might work with your fans just feels like a little daunting, or maybe a letdown. Where if you have that tool and you're like, hey, let's try this, see how we can get people $5 a month subscribing, what would be compelling? And like, oh, that didn't work, let's try something else. And that way it's more focused on the ideas of what we can fulfill, and not how do we figure out the mechanics of it.
Oh, absolutely. And in all the advice we were putting up on our blog at the time, it was like, start small. Start with like one tier, like a couple bucks a month. Just see how many of your fans are interested in supporting you that way. And then add more from there, because it can be super overwhelming if you're trying to do like this multi-tier, like Amanda Palmer-esque, like, you know, like, she has staff to do all, like, to handle all those logistics and fulfilling all the things. Yeah. You know, you kind of have to like be realistic with, you know, when you're starting off something like that.
But I think that's an idea that might be, you know, getting some resurgence. I know people have been, you know, Patreon has allowed, you know, sort of a subscription model for a while, but Radiohead just this past week just did a gigantic content dump on their website. I think it's all free at their place, but I think so many of those bands at that level have sort of abandoned their web presence, and now I think they're finding more value in curating all their content in one place again, with, like I said, social media being so fractured these days that you're just not reaching everybody. It's like, why aren't we just putting it in one place where our fans can go get it? So I think that we'll see a lot more people like, oh, it doesn't even matter if it's new content monthly. It's like, if you've got a big, you know, vault of material that your fans would want to have access to, put it there.
Absolutely.
Give them unlimited access for X amount a month and have at it. Especially like if you're an artist that has sheet music and things like that, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and some of the more successful campaigns using subscriptions through Banzoogle are music teachers, because it's a natural thing, because you're putting out a lot of content in terms of new lessons and things like that, so you can give different... different tiers can have different levels of personalization, essentially, for your students. Yeah. So you can have like a one-on-one Skype session if you're paying $20 a month or whatever. So that's been really interesting to watch how Banzoogle members who are musicians and they are original singer-songwriters but also teach their instrument on the side are mm-hmm. using that feature to, you know, further monetize that content that they're already creating.
Yeah. For clarity, though, on the merch side, just because we had a recent episode where we were talking about merch, on your store, the artist would have to fulfill the orders, except the downloads. You guys are delivering the downloads.
Absolutely, yeah. So anything digital gets automatically fulfilled.
Like PDFs and things like that.
Yeah, PDF, any digital file gets automatically fulfilled. The fan gets an email with a download link. But yeah, merch with our store, it's commission free, but also you get an email with the address, you know, one CD, one large T-shirt, go to this address, and you have to pack it and ship it. So we're exploring, especially launching crowdfunding, we're exploring merch fulfillment options because that's going to be coming.
I believe we're talking about some of those
options. I believe we are, yeah. CD Baby and Banzoogle continue to work more closely together.
Yes,
so that I'd love to see it. It's something that our members have been asking for, especially like members who sell, you know, in significant volume. Like they don't want to be, you know, sending out their own merch. And so what they'll do, like, because you can actually embed any widget that, you know, that has HTML code, you can embed on your website on Banzoogle. So, you know, our members who are selling larger volume merch, they tend to embed like an outside store and use Banzoogle. But we want to be able to obviously offer a solution that's integrated and seamless. And so you can set up your store and set up merch fulfillment automatically and have it all connect to the warehouse. So yeah, we're exploring that.
Yes. We want to do that with you.
Yeah.
And for you.
Indeed.
Let's talk a little bit about in the notes here for our discussion, you had mentioned how email and a website go hand in hand. And I know that's something that no matter what people think about email, I would talk to artists all the time, they'll be like, no one uses email anymore. Or other people, they're like, you absolutely have to have an email address. And I fall on that. You absolutely need to get an email address. That email address, whether or not people engage over email, it's sort of like their online identifier. It's almost like your social security number for the web.
Exactly.
It's like, you want there to know who they are and be able to access them and feel like you own the relationship, you need the email address because people use it in that way. So it's important that you collect them and own that relationship as opposed to letting Facebook own it, because they've made it harder and harder and harder to get access to those people. So how does a website and email go hand in hand? I know you talk about that.
Yeah, so it's whenever we talk about websites being kind of your hub online, part of the reason to have that hub is because you own the data. Like all the traffic you're getting, you can look at the reports and you can see where your visitors are coming from, how they got there, where they live. And you can do the same with, obviously, when you capture email addresses. An email capture on a website is probably, especially if you're an artist starting out or you don't have a large fan base yet, you know, when someone lands on your website, there needs to be some kind of call to action. You want to encourage them to take an action when they get to your website. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, that action should be join my mailing list. You want to capture that data, because then, like you said, it's like their online identifier. People rarely change their email address. And so
I actually thought about that recently. Like, I've had this Gmail address for a long time, and I don't know that I'll I'll probably die before I ever get a different email address.
Exactly.
Chris, who's on the podcast, whether he's still rocking the Hotmail email address.
See, I made the switch from Hotmail. But yeah, totally. I've had the same Gmail forever. And so to keep in touch with your fans over the long term, like regardless what happens with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, whenever you want to reach your fans and be guaranteed to kind of be able to reach them, there's obviously the whole conversation about open rates and subject lines and all that. We won't get into that, but you own that data and you can keep in touch with them. And so you collect emails through your website and you can use the data from your website and then your email, through Banzoogle's mailing list tool, you can geolocate the emails. So you can get a better sense of like, where do your fans live? And so especially if you're a touring musician, you can use that data for leverage when you're negotiating with a venue and saying like, I have 350 email subscribers in your town or in your city. Mm-hmm. I have this many Spotify plays. I have this many, you know, so you can use all that data together to help book shows. But email becomes most important if you're really looking to monetize your career, because it's still, believe it or not, I mean, I researched this a couple months ago. It's still the biggest driver in terms of driving revenue. Like, email is still the best way.
Oh, absolutely.
To drive clicks to purchase. And you see it every time I go to like Old Navy or some clothing store, like they want you to go on their mailing list to get a discount or whatever, because then they send you promotions.
Yes, they
incessantly.
Yes.
And you don't want to do that necessarily. But if you have a new album coming out or if you're launching a crowdfunding campaign, like, social media is super important. You need to be talking about that. But in terms of monetization, you're going to have way more success sending out a dedicated email with a clear call to action button, like contribute to my campaign or buy my new album or, you know, pre-save on Spotify, whatever your goal is at that time of your career, email is going to have a bigger impact.
So you said you've got those tools built in where, like, I upload my email list and it tells me where my fans are?
It came up this morning in a session. So not automatically. The person has to open an email. So, because it goes by IP address.
Okay.
So you upload the emails and once you send out a general email, everyone who opens the email, then it registers in our system where they're located, and then you can start geo-targeting from there.
Perfect. Excellent. Because that's one of the biggest pains. Just when you're out playing shows and you got the mailing list at the table and you're like trying to get people to sign it, and even you know, trying new technology like an iPad, it's like, that's just been as frustrating trying to collect emails, because like, you put in information, you ask them for information. If it's written, you can't read it half the time. I've seen it with an iPad where they're trying to enter it in, and the more fields you're asking, like, they'll stand there and start talking to their friends holding the iPad so no one else can do it. It's just like, the more information that I can get on the back end automatically, the better, because it's just like, it's hard enough to get them to just focus and do that.
Absolutely.
Out in the real world. On the website, I know you guys have tools that make it really easy to snag fans' email addresses.
Yeah, exactly. And you can automate a free download or even a free album download in exchange for that email address. Like, and I tell artists, just a single song download is not really enough anymore, like, of an incentive to hand over an email address. So some of the more interesting things we see our members doing is having some kind of like exclusive EP or live EP, or saying that you'll get exclusive content or exclusive video if you sign up to your mailing list. It has to be more than just the, you'll get a free MP3. Like, it doesn't carry the same currency it did, you know, 5 years ago. But offering some kind of incentive and through our system, you can automate some kind of download in exchange as an incentive. But
that's cool. Yeah, I think it's not too hard to get a little creative with that and think of fun ways. I know with our, what I used our marketing platform, Show.co, the campaign I made was, I had this live track of ours, this medley of songs from the 70s we did. And one time we got thrown off the stage for playing it. And so I used that as, hear the song that got us kicked off the stage. And so people are like, all right, you got me. So it's just like, just finding those little interesting nuggets that's better than just get this, get that. It's like, you know, intrigue them a little.
That's amazing. My band once got kicked off stage years ago because we were having one of those nights where just Nothing sounded right except for one song, so we kept playing the same song. And the venue was in a dingy bar in Montreal, and the venue manager came over after like the third time. He's like, get off the stage.
That's what I was going to ask. How many times did you get through the song before anyone noticed? That would be a good test to see how many times can I play this song until people realize I keep playing the same song.
Exactly,
I'm going to keep playing it until someone notices.
There weren't many people at the show at the time, and so the manager clued in pretty quickly.
That's pretty funny. Wow, I could talk about that all night. Before we get into some of the mistakes or some of the cool things you see power users doing, what are some basic essential elements for a homepage that an artist should be thinking should be there? I know that we'll talk about some of the mistakes where people tend to put too much stuff on there sometimes, but what are the essentials in your mind that you've seen artists having success with?
Yeah, so the homepage is arguably the most important page on your website because that's more often where people will land first. So you want to give a great first impression. So again, going back to the importance of professional photos, great header image, some kind of imagery that really evokes like who you are as an artist, your brand. The call to action, like I mentioned, like that is essential for the homepage because once someone lands, everyone has short attention spans. Like people, you know, are checking 14 different social platforms on their phone every, you know, 2 minutes. So they land on your website, like what do you want them to do? And again, more often than not, should be to sign up to your mailing list. But let's say you're going on tour, it could be click here to buy purchase tickets for the upcoming tour or contribute to the crowdfunding campaign. Whatever your goal, that call to action can and should change depending on your goals at the time. And some kind of short bio, as much information as you can put on your website in text form that Google can crawl that will help you show up in search results. So short bio, little intro, who you are, where you're from, especially when you're just starting out for potential new fans or industry. Having that, some latest news, maybe a couple of blog posts of like what you're up to on your homepage can help as well, for especially for search. And a couple more things. One, and this is one of the, this ties into some of the biggest mistakes, but having some kind of play button. Like I'm on an artist's website, I want to be able to play your music like immediately. So whether it's a music player or a video, some kind of play button right away that I can start listening to your music. Never make it autoplay, which I think is basically disc, like most browsers don't even support that functionality anymore, but it used to be a really popular thing. We actually tried to remove it on Bandzoogle at one point, and there was a huge backlash because people like their autoplay, which is fine, but generally speaking,
but your fans do not
listen
to your fans.
They do not, because they might have Spotify open, they might have something else open playing music, and all of a sudden they get this really weird mix
and it's loud, and they could be browsing at work when they're supposed to be doing something else, and you just outed them
absolutely
with your music. Now they have a bad negative interaction with your music.
Absolutely. So no autoplay, but have a play button that's very clear and visible on your homepage. And then, of course, your social icons. So don't put every single social platform that you've ever created an account with. Like, we still see so many websites that have their MySpace link on the homepage. Like, okay, it's time to take that down.
Man, I'm holding on.
Hold on. Yeah, it's going to make a comeback any day. So, like, whichever social media platforms you're most active on. So it could be, like, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, whatever. But have those on the homepage. They shouldn't be, like, your main, I've seen websites where it's like the social icons right like across the header. You don't want to kick people off your website immediately, but if someone only has a couple of minutes and they want to quickly connect with you on their favorite social platform, should make it easy for them, essentially.
Excellent. What are some of the other pages that are, that, you know, they should consider having before, you know, like what some essentials that you would think, you know, I've got a good homepage. What are a couple of essential other pages I should have?
Yeah, definitely a bio page. You know, again, it's great for search and also great for potential fans or industry to get to know you. So your official bio. Music, again, a play button on the homepage is essential. But if there's anywhere where fans should be able to find your entire discography of music, it's on your website that you own. So, and lyrics, not enough artists put lyrics up on available for their fans to see, especially in the digital world. So our music players, you can add lyrics for each song. You can create a separate lyrics page if you want. So a music page, super important. I mean, if you're selling other things besides music, if you're selling merch, you can have a store page, or you can combine the music and store. If you're a live performer, of course, having an events page. Like some people, some bands will put upcoming events on their homepage, like along the sidebar, which is awesome. But if you're browsing the website, if you want to quickly be able to find where they're playing, just having that in the main menu options is helpful. Visuals like photos and videos, you can combine that depending on how much content you have. You know, easy way to contact you, have a contact page. And then if you have an EPK, so again, if you're looking to get booked or looking to get press and reviews, things like that, so having an EPK page, we have a preset EPK template page, so you just plug in the content and you can move things around if you want, but we kind of laid it out like, this is all the essentials you need for an EPK, and you can just add that as its own page, or you can make it a sub page of your bio or your contact, depending on.
And for those that may not be familiar with what an EPK is, electronic press kit, and basically that's, instead of sending a club booker or a press person to the homepage and having them dig around for stuff or experience more like a fan, this is like just the facts, where the things that they know that they need quickly and to make decisions that they need to make.
Absolutely. And it's such a popular, like we're blown, anytime we blog about EPKs or anything like that, it's one of the most popular posts like on our blog. And musicians are clearly like, they want something that they can use obviously to promote themselves and get booked and things like that. So it's a really, it's still a very popular feature. And there used to be all kinds of press kit companies, specific companies that I don't know.
Yeah, what happened to all?
I don't know. You know, like a couple
of them. It is a great, that was the feature that I mentioned at our conference in Valencia. The publicist, she showed that on, and I was like, that's a cool feature.
Oh, awesome.
And it is something that is a problem that still exists because, you know, I think when a lot of those companies were popping up, you could still customize certain like social platforms more. And but now a lot of those features have been removed from social platforms. And so you really don't have an easy place where you can send somebody someplace you control the content and can, you know, be more efficient for their needs because they're busy.
Yeah, exactly. And there used to be, it used to be much more the industry standard years ago where festivals and conferences would exclusively use one of these press kit services. So you had to be a member of that service to then apply to this festival or conference. But over the years, like most conferences and festivals now, you can just submit directly through their websites. And so we're finding ours like, you just build an EPK page on your site and you just send the link to your EPK page, so they have everything they need right there on in that one link. And you know, you're not forced to use any specific service. You still are with some, but it used to be such a prevalent practice in the industry years ago, and that's kind of gone away. So I think that's why maybe some of those platforms have gone away.
Are there any advanced features we haven't really talked about that are on the platform? I know you mentioned Facebook pixeling.
Yes. So we're an official Facebook Pixel partner, so you can use the Facebook Pixel to know be able to track some of the actions that people are taking. If you're running Facebook ads and they brings you to your store, like there's certain events you can track to see like what those fans are doing. So that can help you know if your ads are effective and converting and things like that. So we're a Facebook Pixel partner. I think we report the SoundScan, which I mentioned.
Yeah, that's a cool feature.
Yeah, for North America. So sales in North America, I think it's on the pro plan. So we have three different plans, and it's basically depends on storage and mailing list members. But the pro plan is $20 a month, and it's unlimited everything. And then you get the extra e-commerce stuff, and SoundScan reporting and all that. But now that's better. Crowdfunding subscriptions were the two kind of bigger features launched lately. Facebook Pixel is a more advanced feature. And like with the story, there's like discount codes and sale pricing. You can generate download codes. I met an artist here at Focalines who the last minute realized, oh, I want to generate download codes to put on my, you know, business cards or on flyers or whatever. And you can do that through our system and just generate, you know, download codes to be able to print out yourself.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, let's get into some mistakes, a topic that we often hit on the podcast, and you know, we've all made them. So we're not making fun. We're recognizing that we all sometimes make odd choices when we go about our music career.
Of course.
And we want to help others not make those odd choices. When it comes to websites, I remember I was at one of the Banzoogle Demolition Derby things, and somebody brought up their homepage, and oh my, if there wasn't like 1,000 different things going on.
Yeah. That's one of the biggest mistakes, is trying to do too much and trying to have too many things all on the same page. It's less is more, generally speaking, when it comes to websites. You don't want to overwhelm people. Some of the more interesting sites we've seen at those sessions are people that just, you're scrolling forever. There's just every track, every video, all the blog posts they've ever blogged are all on the homepage. You're like, it's too much. No one's going to scroll that much. No one's going to, you need to be able to focus people's attention. And so less is more. Each page should have a specific focus. Homepage being the exception, but even the homepage should have very few elements. And then you're giving people a taste of content, and then they can go deeper by browsing the site.
Yeah. I mean, that's one that I've seen a lot with artists, and I can still picture that guy's website in my head, because I was just so confused at how those decisions were made. Like, especially as an artist, go look at other artists' websites, but just because it's a famous artist doesn't mean they have a good website. That's been a frustration in the last couple of years, where like some bands, I mentioned Radiohead. In fact, they poked fun at themselves. And if you look at what they posted on Instagram, they're like, for years we've had a website that was basically useless and no help and frustrating.
Yeah, exactly.
But now we're changing that, and they're calling it like the Radiohead Library or something like that.
Yeah.
Go try websites and like, oh, this was a good experience. I found what I was looking for, or they missed this. Just don't copy other sites, but also think about users. I mean, if there's 1,000 links on, especially above the fold, which is what they call what you can see when you land on the homepage without scrolling, and you just got to help people understand what you're about and where they should go. And if they have to click 1,000 things, they're just going to leave.
Yeah, exactly. They'll get overwhelmed. They won't click on anything. It's funny. One of the website demolition derbies we did up in Montreal for Pop Montreal, there was a web designer from a design agency on the panel, and someone in the audience was talking about how they wanted to like gamify their website and make it like this really interesting, like you have to like pass certain levels to like get through to more content. And the web designer was like, look, he's like, I'll be honest, our agency was hired. He wouldn't name the artist, but it's like, it's a big name artist. They paid us something like $75,000 to design this really complicated game-like experience on their website. The bounce rate, which is the rate at which people land on your site and then immediately leave, was nearly 100%. Yeah. Like no one knew what to do. So they paid all this money.
Well, it's frustrating. I saw this sort of collective of artists. They were not really a record company in my area, but they launched this site like, we're here to support artists. And it was like this little animation had to happen every time before you could use the site. I'm like, I'm already angry at you because I couldn't figure out what I'm just trying to find more information about them. Like, I don't know what you do. I was just curious, and now I'm having to, every time I refresh the page, I have to wait for this little guy to walk across the screen and back.
Yeah, people love those little unique elements, right? But unfortunately, it's not necessarily user friendly.
Yeah. So what else? What other mistakes do you see artists make?
So the professional photos thing is probably the biggest one that I touched on. Not having a play button on homepage, another one. One we see quite a bit is, and it's because we have this feature on our platform, and it's something that you can generate through PayPal, but having like a donate button just randomly on your website. That's something I see really often, and there's no context for it. Like, I understand that the artist, what their goal is, they want hopefully people to donate money to help their career. Cool. But I think artists are much better off. Obviously, a crowdfunding campaign is a big, a big project to undertake. But I think artists are much better off setting their music as pay what you want and taking kind of donations that way. Because a donation button with no context, like, I don't know how effective that will ever be. It won't be. So, you know, like I understand the sentiment. You want people to support your career, but you also have to give them a reason and some context for why they should be doing that. And so doing it through crowdfunding or, you know, through a pay what you want model with your music is probably a better approach than having just a random button that says donate that, you know, most people are not going to click.
Yeah. The one thing that I've seen a lot that I would throw in there is that in artists, like we've said, tend to like to put too much stuff in a small amount of area, but also having pages, like feeling like they have to have a certain number of pages, and but most of them don't have much content on them, or it could be combined. Like there's this giant navigation system to navigate to get through to one news update that says something not that important.
Yeah, we've seen. I don't know what the record is at Banzoogle, because on our pro plan you can have as many pages as you want, and there was someone's menu that had hundreds of menus. It was like every blog post had its own kind of page, kind of thing. Like every news update had its own page. So yeah, that's a huge one. Also, speaking of the menu, like try not to be too fancy with what you call those pages. Like I land on an artist's website sometimes, and it's just like there's a page called Experience or Explore. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Where do I find your music? How do I know where you're playing?
Yeah,
you know, exactly. like you're. We like to tell musicians, like, your music is your art, but your website is your business. Like, you need to be a little bit more conscious of the fact that, like, you can't be too cute with how you name the pages on your website, because you want people to actually click on those pages to find that the content that they're looking for. So, yeah, not being too creative with page menu names is another
good one. I like what you just said. Your music is your art. Your website is your business.
Exactly, yeah.
You should put that on your t-shirt.
The t-shirt.
You can't see, but Dave's wearing a Banzoogle t-shirt.
Now. It's my uniform. Yeah, and it's I'm with the Banzoogle, and it's one of our members came up with that tagline and did the design for the shirt. So it's on all of our stickers and t-shirts. But that's a good one. Your website is your art. Your music is your art, and website is your business. Next t-shirt.
All right. future version. Well, any final thoughts or anything? You know, we've talked a lot about websites. Any final thoughts for people who are listening?
You know, with Banzoogle, it's obviously free to try. So if you don't have a website, or if you do have a website and you're curious, you can always try Banzoogle for free. You know, we are constantly adding new templates, new designs, new features. These days, we're really focused on welcoming host baby members to Banzoogle. That's a huge project for us. And so we're going to be finished. That process will be over in a few weeks. And then we're going to get back to building out, you know, a bunch of new features and adding more functionality to the store, hopefully merch fulfillment, things like that. So, you know, we've been around for 16 years. I've personally been a fan of CD Baby for, I think in some of my initial meetings with you guys this last year, I think I looked it up. Like, I think I was a customer of CD Baby's store in year two.
Wow.
Yeah. So I used to buy like indie band album, like CDs through CD Baby, and interviewed Derek Sivers for a movie I made 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you did that.
Yeah.
What is indie movie?
Yeah, so Derek was in that movie, and it was actually at Folk Alliance when it was in Montreal. I interviewed him. So that would have been 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
It was one of these projects that just, I'm not a filmmaker, I never was, but I was trying to put out a compilation CD of my favorite singer-songwriters, and then I thought, remember when there was this time where like, there was like CD-ROM extras, and like you could put like little video clips if you put it in your computer.
Our label did that for our debut album.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do that with like little interviews of the artists who were featured on the CD. And we started interviewing artists about their experience of being an independent musician, and started to realize that, there's a similar, like artists of all genres, mm-hmm. and there's like a similar experience. And I saw that the founder of CD Baby, Derek Sivers, was going to be at Folk Alliance in my hometown, Montreal. So I just sent him an email. I was like, hey, man, do you want to be in my movie? He's like, sure. And so he was in that. So it's funny. Like, I remember speaking on panels, you know, 15 plus years ago and talking about CD Baby and how artists should be using CD Baby. And, you know, screw the label system and, you know, do it yourself and all that indie rah-rah stuff. But I was always like, use CD Baby, but use Bandzoogle because Bandzoogle's based in my hometown. And I knew the founder's band because my band was like coming up through the rock scene at the same time.
Yeah.
His was, and they were like signed to a major label. So I was always like, CD Baby's the best and Bandzoogle's the best for websites. And so like, you know, 15 years later to finally see the two companies working together is personally for me, like career moment was like so awesome. Like I'm so thrilled.
Well, I'm excited as well. And if you need a website, you can go to bandzoogle.com/CDBaby, get a website. We got a special deal for you there. And you can try it out free for 30 days, and you'll also get some free music distribution from us. If
that's
you
right.
That
you guys are, yeah, exactly. So I'm thrilled that we're actually finally going to, you know, be able to tell our tens of thousands of Bandzoogle members, like, here's what you should be using for your distribution.
I am too.
Well,
thanks, Dave. And I'm sure we'll have plenty more content that you create on our blog and We'll see at the DIY Musician Conference as
course,
well.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to it.
Super excited about that. And thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks again to Dave for hanging out with me in New Orleans. If you need an artist website, head on over to bandzoogle.com/CDBaby. You can try it out for free. But the best part is it comes with free music distribution. So you need a website, you need music distribution, you can get it all in one place, bandzoogle.com/CDBaby. And while you're on the web, head on over to DIYMusicianCon.com, get your tickets for Austin, August 28th through 30th. You're gonna wanna be there. So go get your tickets, go get your hotel room to take care of that business now. And finally, if you'd like to call our listener line or send us an email, you can do so at 360-524-2209, or you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. We love your questions and comments and feedback, so feel free to send them in, and you might just make it on the podcast. I think that's going to do it. All right. We'll catch you next time. See ya. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.